Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 65. My name is John. My ideas seem to frighten you. Are you really that afraid to move? Oh, I guess that it's your right to reason. I've been married to Gina for over 15 years now. Listen to the last podcast if you want to know what she means to me. 15 years doesn't seem like much, but it does to engaged couples and people who have recently wed. However, strangers often mistake us for newlyweds with the way we act around each other. So I've gotten to the point where sometimes, usually at weddings, people will ask me for advice. What's the secret? I'll tell them, it's very simple. I'll lean forward and I'll say in a gentle voice something like this. You have all this knowledge and experience around you right now. Talk to those people. Listen to what they have to say that made their marriages last so long. Soak in every word. Hell, write things down if you think you need to. By this time, they've also leaned in with a grin on their face, wondering what sage advice this is leading to. I'll tell them, take what you've learned, and that very same night, as you walk through the door with your spouse or your fiancé, throw it all in the garbage, and do whatever the fuck you want, however the fuck you want. Because in the end, it's not my marriage. It's not the other wedding guest's marriage. It's your marriage. And if you and your spouse have been, are, and keep dealing honestly with each other, you will find what works best for you. Total disclosure. The first time I ever gave that advice, it was totally unsolicited, and I was totally shit-faced after drinking 10 perfect Manhattans. I'm sure I slurred half my words and maybe scared them a little bit. So to that couple in Houston at the Hilton Americas, I'm sorry for the presentation, but it's still damn good advice. If you've never listened to my podcast before, well, first off, what's wrong with you? Second, and I'm only saying this because I personally know people who have and would do this, you really need to resist the urge to close off your mind and instead make sure you continue to listen after my next sentence. If you've listened to my podcast, this won't come as any surprise to you, but I am not celebrating the Supreme Court's ruling that gay marriage is legal in all of the United States. If you've listened to my podcast, you also know that the reasons I am not celebrating have nothing to do with any kind of disagreement with gay marriage. In fact, if you've listened, you know I am very much in favor of consenting adults getting married if they want to, regardless of their number or gender identity. Now, I am not celebrating the Supreme Court ruling because the real victory was not love. The real victor was government control. from a perspective of individual freedom, not from the perspective of any religion, and certainly not from the perspective of current law, marriage can be distilled down to two natural rights that we often take for granted in the United States. The first is the right of association. I'll use myself as an example here. As I mentioned at the beginning, I'm a legally married man, and I was even before any court ruling in this country. But if I were to associate myself with an unmarried woman, even if we both had the most innocent of intentions, in certain countries, I would be a criminal. Similarly, I'm also a bisexual man. And some of the things I've done with other consenting and extremely satisfied men, if I do say so myself, would get me executed in certain countries. So the idea of consenting adults just hanging out, spending time, fucking, whatever colloquialism you want to use, is so commonplace to Americans that we take it for granted that the right to associate is not accepted worldwide. The second is the right of contract. Again, it is so commonplace we don't pay much attention to it. Gina and I took a vacation recently. Of course, no humans in the house for a week would be problematic for the pets. So Gina asked a friend to come over every day to take care of them. Believe it or not, that simple verbal agreement is a contract. Too abstract? Okay, you apply for work at a business, you pass their interview process and are hired, and you may or may not sign an actual contract that outlines your duties and agreements between the parties. Or maybe it's just a verbal contract. As intrusive as government has gotten into private business, that actual agreement between you and the boss or business representative is out of the government's purview. For now, at any rate. The contract is between you and the employer. We don't realize how important that right is because, again, it's just second nature to us. What if the contract is between two dear friends? What if the contract is more than just, will you watch my pets? Rather, it's an agreement to share each other's lives together. What if they want to share their possessions? What if the friends want each other to have access to them in hospitals when only family is allowed? What if the friends care for each other so much that they want each other to have rights to property if one were to die? If consenting adults love each other that much that they want to do those things with each other, what does it matter what their gender identities are or their number? When you look at it from a perspective of individual freedom, the notion of defining marriage along gender or numerical combination is ridiculous. But it's against religion. Whose religion? Yours? Hey, if walking that path works for you, I wish you the best. I really do. But you must understand this. I don't believe in your religion. I know that when you have that kind of faith, the notion of someone else not sharing it seems so unbelievable. But if you really value the freedom of religion, you also need to respect those who have religious views different from yours. Even in the Christian religion, there are denominations that have varying definitions of marriage. almost positive I've used this example before, but I heard an obviously devout fundamentalist Christian state on the radio that marriage is, quote, between one man and one woman for the purpose of having children, end quote. That definition goes beyond what other Christians have stated. By his definition, Gina and I do not have a real marriage because we decided not to have children. So, I definitely disagree with this guy's definition, but I respect his personal opinion. Giving him such respect, I would hope and expect from him to afford me the same with my definition of marriage. Again, if you really value the freedom of religion, you need to respect those who have religious views different from yours. This goes both ways, and I'll get to that shortly. But it's against the law, or at least it was. Why? Why, in a nation that claims to value individual liberty, are we using the law to deny people said liberty? It's funny that the right wing will look at something like the legalization of gay marriage and grouse that the left wing is doing social engineering, trying to steer the course of society. Well, what exactly has the government been doing with their previous stance, only allowing one man and one woman to be married? Why does the government give tax breaks and benefits to people who are married and or have children if they're not trying to social engineer our society? It's all about trying to take control of as many minds as possible. Now, it was less than 3 years ago when Barack Obama stated that gay people probably ought to get married, but still believe that the states, in this particular case, North Carolina, had the right to define marriage even to the detriment of homosexual couples. But you can't engineer your society unless you fool enough people into thinking you have their best interests in your devious little heart. So somehow that very tepid support for gay marriage and definite support for North Carolina's anti-gay marriage legislation translates to rainbow-colored White House, and people with shorter memories than I think it's genuine. So, you think they care, you think they're on your side, when all they really care about is your vote, to keep them in power, to continue to drain your liberties. But they just said that gay people could get married, so that's more liberty. No, listen to that again. They said gay people could get married. If it's your natural right, they shouldn't be saying anything because it's none of their beeswax what consenting adults do. You've only given them the power to control the definition of your rights. Conservatives are pissed off because they think their America is disappearing. This is not accurate. Conservatives are pissed off because they have lost control of their social engineering plans for the United States. So they're having a conniption and lashing out like a hobbled boxer who can't quite see his opponent in the haze. Part of the backlash was an attempt in Texas to allow clerks to refuse to file marriage license for gay couples if it went against the clerk's religious beliefs. I thought about that for a very brief moment, and I had to determine that stance is wrong. It's one thing for an owner of a private business, the one in charge of the business, to refuse to bake a cake for a gay wedding. But let's say an owner does bake cakes for gay weddings, and an employee of the owner refuses to take an order based on religious beliefs. That employee cannot use their religious beliefs as an excuse not to do their job, because they don't have the final say in the matter. The boss does. In this scenario, if the employee refuses, the owner has the right to terminate the employment for not following the business rules. See, that's part of the private contract this theoretical employee made with this theoretical baker. It's the same with county clerks filing marriage licenses. The boss said you have to do it, so you have to do it. Let's take this to another level. Also in Texas, a Republican legislator has introduced a bill that would remove government officials from handing out marriage licenses and would transfer the responsibility to clergy and notary publics. As a private citizen, you can then refuse to do marriage license for gay couples, especially if you're clergy. To be honest, I don't know much about what it takes to be a notary, so I'm not sure if they could still refuse or if they're considered an agent of the government, but it doesn't seem like that would be the case because of the proposed law. Someone who is willing to issue licenses to gay couples could then make that a part of their advertising and maybe get more business their way. Of course, the idea of a license for your marriage still smacks of intrusion to me, so how about just a proclamation for the purposes of legal matters such as inheritance? But the bitterness is not one-sided. Sadly, there is also news of a gay couple suing a church for refusing to let them marry on their property. I'll be honest, when I read that story, my heart sank. I hope that couple, and any other person, couple, or group who tries a similar lawsuit, loses, and loses badly. Because, once again, you are now violating the natural rights of the person or entity in charge of the property. What kind of horrible human beings are out there who, after, for simplicity's sake, let me just call it gaining a right, seek to deny others their natural rights? There's a quote often attributed to Mikhail Bakunin, but no one's sure if it really was him, about the coming Bolshevik takeover in Russia in the early part of the 20th century. Supposedly, he said, "If you took the most ardent revolutionary, vested him in absolute power, within a year, he would be worse than the Tsar himself." Sometimes I wonder if the revolutionaries want to be free from the oppression, or simply want their turn as oppressor. Perhaps the worst thing I've heard so far in the backlash is the insistence that religious entities be subject to taxation. I find it deplorable that the same people who have been so insistent that religion stay out of the affairs of state now insist that the state be involved in the affairs of religion. The church must stay out of the state, but you have no problem with the state burying its claws into a church? You can't have the separation of church and state only one way. Or perhaps they just wish someone to have taxation without representation. We'll use the force of government to take your money, but we won't allow you a say in that government. Can you think of anything more un-American, more anathematic to the notion of liberty? The sad thing is, this really isn't marital freedom. I touched on this earlier. Government still has control of the definition. If the government has the control, then the rights are shackled. By giving them control of the definition, you give them the power to change it at their whim. Oh, they never do that. Don't forget, the government, under the Wilson administration, re-segregated the military. If government can reverse itself on the integration of races in the military, they sure as hell can change their minds on gay marriage. That's why you get government out of the marriage business altogether. It's none of their goddamn concern who you choose to live your life with. It's not the federal, the state, or the municipal government's business. The only people who have any business defining your marriage are the ones you choose to be a part of it. If you want to define your marriage based on your religious beliefs, then for the love of God, do it. You wouldn't want me to force you to conform to my idea of marriage, then you have to stay the hell out of mine. To Christians who oppose gay marriage, I ask, has your definition of marriage changed because the United States law has changed? Now that the Supreme Court has decided marriage cannot be limited to heterosexuality, have you changed your definition accordingly? I'll bet you haven't. And that's been the whole point of what I've been trying to tell you for years. Your definition of marriage in your mind and your heart doesn't have to change. If you're in a heteromonogamous marriage and that's all you want, then what does it matter what anybody else has? You can stay in your marriage and let other people have theirs. I've lived on both sides. I grew up in a fundamentalist Christian household and often heard the old fire and brimstone sermons. I sat in church services where people have made derogatory comments about homosexuals. I've also discovered, experimented, battled against, and finally accepted my bisexuality. I've heard gay people make derogatory comments about heterosexuals in general, and Christians in specific. Hell, gay men have berated me for identifying myself as bisexual, and for not being monogamous. So much for tolerance and acceptance. I've heard hate from both sides, directed at each other. I've heard hate from all sides directed at any lifestyle choice they don't like. Where's the magnanimity? If love won, where is the outreach of love to those who think differently from you? If love won, why are you now trying to take away their freedom of speech? If love won, why are you trying to actively punish them with blatantly unconstitutional taxation? There is no love when you use your newfound freedom as a catalyst to take away the rights of others. And there is certainly no honor in it either. Here it is, July 2015. And while I was prepping this podcast, the United States celebrated its 239th birthday. As we sat waiting for 4th of July fireworks, I read passages of the Declaration to Gina. Call me cheesy, but that's how I do. The 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence were far from perfect. Some would be considered heinous by today's standards. We often think that 239 years of history has somehow made us superior. We are wrong. What was set before us by imperfect men was an ideal. An ideal that said we have natural rights that are not given to us by some form of government, rather that it comes from humanity, given to us by our very existence, whether you believe that existence comes from nature or from a god. These natural rights belong to us, no matter what any other person or group believes. That ideal is the goal, no matter how daunting or how far-fetched that goal is to reach. The intention was for us to always strive for more freedom. So long as you are not violating anyone else's natural rights or putting them in unwanted peril, you should be allowed to live your life as you see fit. But that's not where we are. We have allowed silver-tongued devils to convince us that not everyone is offered the same freedoms. These schemers have appeared in places of influence in our government, our businesses, our churches, and anywhere else they think they can affect you. They have, sadly, convinced many that you have the right to interfere in other people's lives. They tell you that you have the right to dictate what consenting adults are allowed to do together. They tell you that you have the right to dictate what another person can put into his or her body. They tell you that you have the right to take from the paycheck and bank account of an honest worker or business and control how that business is run. They tell you that you can be forced to purchase a good or service that you don't want. They tell you that you have the right to dictate how people choose to defend themselves from a perceived threat. They tell you that you have the right to silence or punish a person who expresses an opposing opinion. While we bicker like petulant children over what should be obvious natural rights, those schemers fill us with fear and propaganda until we willingly surrender our rights to whatever power claims to be on our side. Because we have lost sight of the ideal, we don't fully see the spirit of the Declaration of Independence. That spirit that boldly told its oppressors, no more. Oh, it's so easy to stand and shout and fight for the rights that feed your own self-interests. But what of the rights of people who live in a manner in which you disagree? It's so easy to fight for gay marriage if you're gay and want to be married. It's easy to fight for religious freedom if you're religious. But in order to be truly free, in order to be a true champion in the spirit of the signers of the Declaration, you must fight for the natural rights of those who live their lives outside of your personal code. Then you can truly say you are pledging your life, your fortune, and your sacred honor. No one is perfect. No one can say, I've always thought, said, and done the right thing at every opportunity. Just like the founders, we have all stepped on, voted against, and outright denied each other's natural rights at some point. And yet, there's still an opportunity. As long as this nation, the Constitution, and the Declaration still have meaning, we can turn the tide of collectivism and once again be a nation that champions personal liberty and responsibility. But it can't begin until you're willing to respect and stand for the rights of people to peacefully live their lives in ways that go against your principles. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.